Good morning.
Good morning.
I am Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of Jesus on this Sunday when we remember our open and affirming commitment, and I pray that by our worship that we might all know the extravagant welcome and radical love that Jesus wanted each and every person to know and for us to extend to the world. And I extend a warm welcome to those of you who are joining us this day by our live-streamed or recorded worship. Regardless of how we enter this worship this day, we can all rest in the blessing of the knowledge that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are yet one in the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. So I want to thank our worship leaders this morning for giving of their time and talents to make this worship possible, to our liturgists, to our greeters, our ushers, and also to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer for their technical expertise that's making this worship possible, and also to Pegasus Natick for its broadcast of our service. So today we are celebrating our open and affirming commitment. Open and affirming is the movement within the United Church of Christ that has sought for more than three decades for the full welcome and inclusion and affirmation of all God's people, and in particular those who have been historically felt unwelcomed by the church, our LGBTQ plus siblings. Over the years, we have widened our welcome and our affirmation as a church. And today, on the 18th anniversary of our open and affirming commitment, we'll be considering how we provide accessibility to all and how we counter ableism. And so helping us to do that this day is our guest preacher, Candace Lowe. Candace is a Hartford Seminary graduate who has been a disability rights and justice trainer and educator and advocate for more than four decades. A member of the Asylum Hill Congregational Church in Hartford, Connecticut, she serves on the Southern New England Conference's UCC Disability Ministries team, which promotes accessibility to all, inclusion of all people with disabilities, and the dismantling of ableism. She's also a principal with Candace Lowe Consulting Services, which assists faith communities building communities that are built communities of belonging and that embrace everyone. And so we are grateful this day to have Candace with us today. Candace has recently conducted an accessibility audit for us, and she'll be making that report available to us within a couple of weeks or so. So we look forward to taking a look at that. And so today we look forward to having her deepen our open and affirming commitment by sharing her perspectives on how churches can attend to accessibility issues of all kinds. And so we welcome Candace warmly. So I would remind you that we have a covenant for our worshiping community that you'll find on the inside cover of your bulletin. It reminds us of the things that we've agreed to do during worship during this time. One of those things is that we will continue to hum hymns, although we will have some song leaders this morning. So they'll be singing on our behalf, but feel free to hum. Also, at our time of prayer, we'll be lifting up prayer concerns and celebrations. And as is our practice here, for those of you who are in person, you'll find an index card there in the pew. If you have a prayer concern or celebration you'd like to lift up, you can write that down. And that'll be collected during the offering or just before the prayer, and feel free to just wave that when the time comes, and we will include those in our worship this day. And so I'd like to invite forward Gail Martin, who is going to let us know a little bit more about what's happening with our capital campaign.
Good morning, everybody. As you can see on the slide, we have now got $62,000, over $62,000 in pledges. And I want you to remember that last week we were at 35, so we are cranking along. And when you put the match with that, we're slightly over $125,000. So, yay. And of course, that match is available to everyone until November the 21st. So we encourage you, if you have not made a pledge or a donation, please do so. Thank you.
Great. And I'd like to invite forward David Coulter, who has a brief announcement for us from the spiritual support team. Thank you. Spiritual support team of the Capital Campaign. Thank you, David.
Good morning, friends. Once again, a reminder about the survey, the poll, which the spiritual support team is interested in hearing what you have to say. We designed this primarily for your benefit, to help people think about why the Capital Campaign is important from a spiritual perspective. So if you don't have to share it with us, in other words, if think about the questions, and if you want to share your responses with us, we would appreciate that, either by filling that out or by doing it online. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, David. And one other announcement, I just want to remind us that we have a wonderful celebration this afternoon. Bill Ladd will be ordained here at this church at 2 o'clock today, and we'll be joining with many others who are coming from all around the country, actually, to be with us this day to join with him in the culmination of a long, long journey that he has been on. And so we look forward to that time together, and I invite you to be here with us. And so as I light this Christ candle here at the communion table, I invite those of you who are at home to use your candle at home and to light your candle. This is one of the ways we remember that we continue to be connected with one another during this time by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Good morning. Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. We come today representing all the majesty of creation. We come today called to this time and this place by an infinite God who hears our cries and responds with love and mercy. We come today, transgender, non-binary, bisexual, two-spirit, lesbian, intersex, gay, queer, ally.
We come today, knowing you listen and answer our needs.
We come today to deliver our joined prayers of hope. We come today knowing you care for us.
We come today knowing that even if others reject us, your arms are open to offer comfort, so we come.
so lovely to hear the hymn sung, don't you think? Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, "You have come to us, O God, in so many ways. You have come to us in the person of Jesus and in those who have followed him in every generation, keeping alive his passion for peace, justice, and equality. Come to us again today to remind us of the wideness of your love, which has the power to change hearts and minds and lives, and to heal all that had been broken by selfishness or fear or anger or hatred. Brush aside our feeble attempts to make life seem simpler than it is. Forgive us when we allow labels to isolate and insulate us from one another. Give us the grace to see one another as you see us, so that we can change the world in ways beyond our greatest imagining. Amen." As we prepare to affirm our ONA covenant today, let us consider how well this covenant expresses what we understand to be the extravagant welcome of Christ. The extravagant welcome of Christ. Let us also consider that as welcoming as we believe ourselves to be, as willing as we are to strive to make room for everyone with respect and kindness, we are part of organized religion. In nearly all organized religion, through the generations, has had doctrines that are exclusionary, forcing anyone not fitting the mold to believe that they were not worthy of God's love. And for that reason, it is so important that we leave no doubt that we believe otherwise. Outside our pride, trans, and mental health flags, and our handicap accessible and rainbow signs tell everyone that they are welcome here. Let us also consider that once you come inside, our building is not so welcoming to many individuals. The physical space has not kept up with our growth as a people of God. With the focus of our ongoing capital campaign on creating spaces upstairs and down that are accessible with good lighting and proper sound systems, we are on the road to having our beautiful building be as welcoming as our hearts are. I look forward to being on this road with you. Let's see where it takes us. And now, please join me in reaffirming our open and affirming commitment on this 18th anniversary of the First Congregational Church of Natick, adopting our open and affirming covenant. The First Congregational Church of Natick affirms the dignity and worth of every person. We are called to express the love and welcome of Christ. We celebrate the diversity of God's creation and the gifts, talents, and resources of all who strive to build a church that is faithful to God. We, therefore, covenant again to be an open and affirming congregation. We embrace and support those who experience rejection and find themselves in exile from spiritual community. We welcome people of every ability, race, culture, gender, economic circumstance, gender identity, and sexual orientation.
And so I invite you now, remaining physically distant, to yet share the peace of Christ, perhaps reaching out your hands in a gesture of blessing, or perhaps placing your hands over your heart with the intention of opening yourselves to God's peace and also sharing your peace with others, or perhaps using the word namaste with a bow, which signifies that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you for being here.
I look around this congregation during that time of peace and I see welcome. I see the ways that your hearts are warm to one another and also warmed to the world, and the ways that we can share the gifts that we have to give of ourselves to make the world the kind of place that we intend it to be. Sarah Lynn is reminding us that this is the time now when the children are free to go and to participate in godly play. So we invite you to do that, and some of the adults as well who will be helping with that program. So, may God be with you there.
May God be with you here.
Thank you. May God be with us here, and as God, of course, is. And we know this, and one of the ways we know this is that we continue to share of ourselves, of the things that we have in order to make the world the kind of place that God would have it be. And so we come to a time now of reminding ourselves of our response to God's generosity with our generosity. And so let us rejoice now in what we have been given and in what is ours to give as we receive this morning's offering. Let us pray. We are all one human family in your love. You created us, Holy One, and through your grace, you reach out to us. You are great enough to hold us all in your arms at the same time. And so help us. Help us to open our hearts to the world that you love. Teach us to weave our lives together. We yield to Spirit, offering what we have to the greater good. In this way, each day we begin again in love. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, beginning at verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. But just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. If the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Here ends the reading for today.
Good morning. I want to explain before I go further about the phone. It has an app on it that transcribes. And the first time I used it in a congregation that I was preaching, of course I was looking at it so I could read it, and some little lady comes up afterwards and says I should be ashamed that I was playing with my phone all during the service. So, that explains why I have it. I'm really honored to be here today as you celebrate UCC Open and Affirming Sunday. I'm also pleased that you've included the disability community in this day of commitment. And I'm proud to stand in solidarity with the LGBT plus community as an ally from the disability community. The two communities have supported each other for many years in our advocacy efforts and our mutual fight for justice and equality. We've always been there for each other. I want to thank this congregation too for the warm welcome that I received and for the accommodations. Jonathan made sure that I had a printout of everything that I needed in extra large print. I really appreciated that a lot. UCC, in case you're, you know, I don't think that you celebrate or know that you celebrate Disability Awareness Sunday, but UCC designates the second Sunday in October as Access Sunday. And although many congregations celebrate it at other times during the month rather than just the second Sunday, I really like the idea that you have here of putting them together, because we so many times have this them and us mentality. And if we're all together, we're all parts of the same body. But why do we have an Access Sunday? You don't hear a lot about it. In many churches, barriers remain preventing all worshipers from having the opportunity to fully participate in the worship service. For UCC churches to become more aware of the obstacles presented in its buildings, the advice is given that the audit be done to determine where improvements need to be made. And I applaud this congregation. When I came to do your audit Wednesday, I blew up from Hartford. But if you weren't out that day, you don't know the wind was 70 miles an hour. But it was my joy to see the accessibility improvements that you already have. And second, Access Sunday celebrates the members of the disabled community and the idea that congregations should not have them and us thinking, when we think about inclusion, accessibility is the first step, although many congregations function as if it's the only step that they need to make in order to be hospitable to the disability community. Inviting people from the LGBT plus community to worship is also a first step, and I applaud this congregation for the steps that you've taken to be inclusive to the LGBT plus community. And we need to go a step further when we think about creating true communities of belonging. True communities of belonging live the proclamation of the UCC denomination. All are welcome here in every aspect of congregational life. The heart of a congregation is full when everyone feels beloved. All means all. Today I speak from the perspective of a person with disabilities. I believe that many of the issues I have faced and will face in the future are similar to those that are faced by members of our LGBT plus community and are those faced by other marginalized communities. We've often advocated together on issues that affect both communities. We experience oppression and discrimination. Historically, Christianity has a complicated relationship with disabilities. Congregations have often ignored the call for inclusion. Some have questioned the faith of people who have not been healed of their disabilities. Creating a community of belonging that includes disability community does not ignore the importance of healing, but it does reframe the idea from the medical model that if you have a disability, you are sick and you need to be treated, to a model that embodies the fullest possible integration of people with disabilities within the communities. Views on disability have passed through the ages, creating ableism. Ableism is much like racism, it's learned and deeply ingrained. And it's a systemic belief that persons with disabilities are not valuable, that we're inferior and a drain on society, that we are somehow not worthy of love. And I know you're thinking, gee, we don't do that, we're the good guys. Right? We're the good guys. But I'll give you an example. My definition of ableism is not discrimination against people with disabilities, but discrimination for able-bodied people, where you make the decisions in your church based on, and you do this unconsciously, based on someone's ability. And that doesn't mean you're against people with disabilities. Yes, you love people with disabilities, but you know they can sit at the back of the church, right? One day when I was 16 years old, a moment became frozen in time as the car I was driving hit a concrete bridge abutment. That frozen moment changed my life forever, and I acquired a traumatic brain injury that left me with multiple disabilities, including deafness, short-term memory loss, aphasia, balance, speech problems, and other mobility issues. The effects of those injuries also caused depression and anxiety and threw me into the world that was beyond my understanding, a world where having a disability reduced me to a second-class citizen. I could no longer decide where I wanted to eat, what movie I wanted to see, what church I wanted to attend. There was not much in the way of rehabilitation or understanding the brain injury at that time. And so after a lengthy stay in the hospital and months in a coma, I was placed in a nursing facility. I could not remember how to do many things, including tie my shoes or read. I marked my progress by the little things, all the while moaning, why me? I'm a good moaner too. Speaking of shoes, I've always used shoes as an indicator of how well I was doing each day. If I could remember how to tie my shoes, I was doing okay. Now, as I approach the ripe old age of 75 and can't remember why I went into the room, I wear slip-on shoes. After attending church all my life up until that point, I could no longer go. I needed to be able to get into the building because I was using a wheelchair, and I still sometimes do. I needed communication access because I could no longer hear. And most of all, I needed to be considered a part of the community, to be seen as a child of God made in His image, but I no longer was. And I needed to feel beloved. For me, the isolation and rejection were total. The God that I grew up with and knew was not a loving God. He was not a forgiving God. And I could not love myself, and I could not feel lovable. And I felt that there wasn't any justice for me, that I wasn't enough. I had gifts to share with the world, but no one could see. I grew up in the tradition of the literal transition of the Bible, and the lessons of my childhood were mostly about salvation. Our family believed that a disability was contracted because you sinned. Of course, everybody sins, but you had to really, really mess up to get a disability. I had to sin a lot to get that one. Our family also believed that if you prayed hard enough and had enough faith, you would be healed. And there were always lines of people praying away disabilities. And you might think, you know, that doesn't happen now. It does. And it happens in probably, you have people in thinking in most every UCC church or church that I've visited that has this thinking. And my family, love had to be earned, and I had to keep earning it. And I was doomed because I listened to Elvis. And I look around, I know most everybody in here remembers Elvis. And anything less than perfect was not acceptable. You absolutely did not belong in God's house if you had a disability. And as it often does, perfect got in the way of joy and being beloved. It was years before I could find a place of belonging, and I needed an accessible church and people that could see and fully accept me. It's harder than you might think to find that. And I'm on an incredible journey, all because someone looked past the superficial exterior of my disabilities and invited me into God's house and extended the grace of love and forgiveness. For me, and not belonging to a congregation or being connected, I was missing something deep within myself. Someone to see me, to love me as I was, to accept me, a home where I was valued. I needed to transform once again into a whole person, and I'm not talking about a physically whole person. I'm talking about my spirit. It became lost somewhere. And we all need a sanctuary and a peace and love to instill the longing in our hearts. And this is not a story of poor, pitiful me. But if you want to feel sorry for me, that's okay, go ahead. This is a story about transformation, the beginning of an incredible personal journey that was made possible because I found an accessible church. That was the beginning, and it was the most life-changing event ever. I came to my beautiful church because it was accessible, but I've stayed for many reasons. The access to not only worship, but other events has allowed me to be connected and learn that love and acceptance is freely given and does not have to be earned. I have learned about God's grace that is given to each of us just because we are. And I have learned that I'm truly made in God's image, because I'm wonderfully made by God. I have stayed because I have access to the tools that I need to learn about God and grace, to learn that Jesus came for me, to bloom and to receive the many blessings that comes from being connected to a congregation. I have purpose, as the scripture I chose for today that Carolyn read. It says, God gave each of us a gift. No one has the same gift as another. And to complete the picture God has made, each of us is needed. None of us can completely fill our own purpose unless all of us can bring our gifts to the table. We are all parts of the same body. Coming here Wednesday, my eye caught this beautiful hydrangea bush that was out here in front of my car where I parked. And there was, as I looked at it, there was one bush. But there were many different blooms in a beautiful array of colors. There were some that were blue, there were some that were pink, there was a purple one, there was white and blue together, each a glorious gift to the eye of the beholder, and many parts of the same body. What has made me feel that I was beloved? There are many things. I was asked to serve on a committee in my church, and an interpreter was made available for me. This was and still is an extraordinary experience for me. Many times, people from the disability community are not asked to be on committees or serve as deacons or choir members or lay members or encouraged to become clergy. This was a committee where I was asked to provide input, that I'm valued, that I could share my gifts with the world. This is a committee where there were no attitudinal barriers, no judgments, and where I felt absolutely beloved. And we could hug. You know, I missed that. Anybody else miss that? This is a committee and a church where I could lead, serve, and love, where I have permission to make mistakes. And when I do, there are not mistakes that are seen as happening because I am a person with disability. There are mistakes that I made because I'm a human being. I don't need a pity party, you know. I can make enough mistakes on my own without having it attributed to being a person with a disability. A community of true belonging is a place where I can start from where I am and have the expectation that someone will hold space for me while I experience the things we all long for, which is love, a sense of belonging, a home, and grace. A community of belonging celebrates my culture, disability culture. One of the most beautiful experiences I ever had is my graduation from Hartford Seminary. It has a new name now, but this slide looks like we're having a revival meeting, doesn't it? But this slide is really what happened that day will probably be a memory that right up there with the top 10. As I turned after receiving my diploma, my classmates were applauding me in sign language. This is what they're doing here. Someone took the initiative to learn how to say well done in my second language, creating and celebrating my second culture, which was the deaf culture. A community of belonging is a sanctuary for my soul, for love, for compassion, and kindness, a refuge from a very often too cruel world. It is a place that's denied to most of us with disabilities still. Ableism that creates attitudinal barriers, architectural barriers, communication barriers, and the barriers that we as people with disabilities put on ourselves, that we are not enough. These prevent us from learning, connecting, and participating in church life. And sometimes you gotta convince us we're enough. No. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." It does not say all except those who cannot get into the building or cannot hear. UCC is an open and affirming church to all people who are marginalized, including those who are marginalized. We are in marginalized communities, and we hope to be heard. We hope to be seen as people who have and will continue to bloom, not as unacceptable, but as children of a loving God, not as handicapped, but as a well-intact human being with gifts to give. For without all of us, the universe is not complete. And it takes an open-minded person to look beyond and see that each of us has more to offer than the limitations of society puts on us. I'm a single mom, I'm a boss, I'm an advocate, I'm an artist, I'm a songwriter, I'm a graduate of Hartford Seminary, which is now the Hartford International University of Religion and Peace, which was a leap of faith for me when I started at the age of 68, for I really had no idea where it was going to lead. And a human who has disabilities, this is a little bit scary because we have to plan everything to see, to make sure that we can get where we need to go. What do you see when you look at your neighbor or the person sitting next to us or a person with a physical or mental disability? Do you see how we are different? Or do you see how we are alike? Do you look in the hearts and understand the challenges that each of us face? I remember a story about walking in each other's shoes. Do you do that? Can we widen the welcome even though the change will make us uncomfortable? Even though the change will make us step out of our little circle that we've been in all the time. Even though the change may make you give up your pew and sit somewhere else in church. Can we recognize our connection? And I believe that if we looked at each person as a soul without a label, we would really see the heart of each person. And we would treat each other more gently, with more love and tolerance and care. I hope we can change the way we think about disability and realize that we all have hopes and dreams. Our world is getting increasingly divided in a way that we accommodate special groups. I don't mean special groups, I mean specific groups. I want the special labels that we give our programs, member groups, and so forth to disappear. I would like to see an elimination of special services, special needs. I would love to see us get rid of that special label, leaving our shared humanity and the realization that we all have vulnerabilities and needs that can benefit from faith communities using their collective access to support each other. I believe that each of us has times that we function better than we do others. We need to see that disability is a normal experience. I think about Howard Thurman when I think about this, as the way he talked about death, and people often put death and disability together. And Howard Thurman was thinking that, you know, we need to treat this as what it is, a part of normal life, and we all might experience that at some time or another. Each of us could be a part of the goodness of creation. Disability can be a part of the goodness of creation. Each of us is unique and a part of the universal picture of the divine. When we all have basic needs, we need to be loved and to belong, and each of us has a right to be beloved. Disability teaches us to respect human limits. It teaches us about being vulnerable. It teaches us to look beyond the surface of our neighbor, and we must recognize that we are limited by our own stereotypes and understand that our common thread is humanity. It doesn't matter which marginalized population you're looking at. Doesn't matter. We're all a part of humanity. We want to create an environment where needs are met. Not special needs, just needs. Each of us needs to realize that we are wonderfully made, and we all have needs. We might not admit it, but we all have needs. In a true belonging community of belonging, we recognize the diverse levels of hospitality. And I'm thinking about this from a disability perspective. Accessibility is being able to get into the building. Diversity is getting invited to the table. Inclusion is having a voice at the table. But belonging is having your voice heard at the table. Belonging is being able to do everything others do, lead, to follow, to be valued just as you are, and to be a part of the group called us. Beloved is having someone really see your heart and soul, to really see you. Justin Dart, the father of the Americans with Disabilities Act and a disability rights leader, said, "Every human being is empowered by the environment of love. Every human being is entitled to an environment of love. And every human being is responsible to contribute to that environment of love." And how can we contribute if we can't get in the building? Or we can't hear what's being said? Imagine what it would look like if everyone were truly welcomed and embraced and belonged. What would it take? What would it look like if everyone felt beloved? This is why we are here today, to really think. Are we beloved, or do we just come and worship? Do we just sort of belong? Are we included, sort of? Or are we truly beloved? God is love, and in love, and by love, and for love, we are all created. And we are beloved just as we are. Beloved, everybody means all. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you all for hearing a word today brought to us by Candace, a word that we have needed to hear, a word that expands our understanding open and affirming, a word that helps us see ourselves from beyond where we are. And we come to a time now of lifting up in prayer the things that we have on our hearts, and I ask if there are prayer celebrations or concerns that we would share this day. Thank you, Wayne. Are there others? Thank you, David. And so we lift up in prayer these things this morning. Prayers for Palma as she faces numerous complications in her battle against cancer. Robin's brother's mother-in-law. Prayers for Robin's friend Dan and his wife Sarah as she navigates her breast cancer diagnosis and journey to recovery. Prayers for the family and friends of Pam Meehan, who died of cancer this week at age 59. Pam is a member of Carolyn's extended family. Rick and Sharon ask prayers for Don Strong, member of their extended family, a man of faith who has been diagnosed with cancer. We also lift up prayers for the Glover family. And I invite you now to be in prayer with me. Merciful God, we come before you today as people who are worried about those who are oppressed or marginalized and forgotten, and we confess that sometimes we forget about those made in your image. We often do not speak up when people declare who belongs in our church, who belongs in our community, and sometimes who belongs in our family. And so we ask you to forgive us and to create in us a way to keep our hearts and minds and doors wide open with love and understanding. Help us reach out beyond ourselves and learn about the joys of all the communities. Give us the patience to learn that all people have gifts and abilities to share with our community of faith, for we know the grace of the divine is wide and deep enough for us all, for all our love, more deeply than can be imagined. And there is nothing that can separate us from that love. And so we pray these things in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As we leave this space, may we remember that everyone we meet is made in the image of God. May our hearts see the gifts of others that many don't see. May we open our minds to embrace our differences, celebrate the differences of others, and open our sacred spaces so all can receive the message of hope and belonging, given with love so overwhelming that our cup overflows with blessing, great and small, filling vessels all over the world and transforming lives as only you, our good and gracious God, can. Amen.